Thank you, Dr. Russell Truth, President of the UNIA. Mr. Gary Quinlan, Deputy Secretary of the DFAT, my colleague, my friend, and also my boss. You know, I'm doing diplomacy here, and Gary is in charge of China affairs, so I have to call on him from time to time and to talk about the things both easy and difficult. And he's very generous to offer assistance and help. I'd like to thank you very much, Gary, for your help. Sir James McLean, from New Zealand, ambassador to the UN, and also my friend and distinguished guest here, the Honorable Bob Carr, who is over there, and I'm very happy to see you here. And Bob is dealing with the Australia-China relations. He's the director of the ECRI, which is very active in studying of the bilateral relations between China and Australia. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to attend today's conference, which is the biennial conference of the UNAA. I'd like to begin to thank Dr. Russell Truth for inviting me to this very special event. After accepting the invitation, I thought I was brave enough to be here to face all the experts on the UN affairs. For the reason that I'm the ambassador to Australia, not ambassador to the UN. I did do some work about 20 years ago in the United Nations, in the Chinese mission to the UN. I was a junior diplomat. I was in charge of the second committee, environmental issues, and also economic and social issues, ECOSOC over there. I spent 3 years in New York, but I have to be updated about what's happening over there. So I'm very lucky to have Gary and James today together. I think they just came back from New York, and I think all of us were among the quote-unquote New York Mafia, and you know, all diplomats in New York are called New York Mafia. And there's no lack of New York Mafia in this town, in Canberra. The High Commissioner of Singapore, of Pakistan, and also the High Commissioner of Malaysia. They all used to work in their missions to the UN at the same time when I was working over there. So I think there is a very rich sources for the UNAA to deal with the diplomatic communities in Canberra, and I think you are doing so, which is very good. Come to topic, I was asked to talk about something like the China's perspective on the UN. I would like to give you some ideas. Try to share with you our views on the perspective of the UN. I think it's very timely and very fitting and relevant to hold this event at this year. The year marks 70th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations. The United Nations has traveled an extraordinary journey in an ever-changing world and made remarkable achievements over the past 70 years. The fundamental principles enshrined in the UN Charter, including sovereign equality, non-interference in internal affairs, and peaceful settlement of disputes, all those have since taken hold as the cornerstone of the current international order. The UN has secured extensive support for its practice in safeguarding international peace and security, promoting common development and human rights progress. It is never to be forgotten that the United Nations was born out of profound reflections on the war. This year also marks the 70th anniversary of the victory of the World Anti-Fascist War and Chinese People's War of Resistance against Japanese aggression. China has made tremendous national sacrifices and made significant contribution to the final victory of the World Anti-Fascist War. For this region, China will hold a special commemorative event to remember the history and create a better future. So the topic is about China's perspective on the United Nations. I would like to say something about that in the following times. I think the restoration of China's lawful seat in the UN at the 26th UN General Assembly in 1971 opened a new chapter in China-UN relations. 40 years on, China has always been firmly committed to the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. I saw Gary has a copy of the UN Charter in his hands. He brought that today, and which is very good. And safeguarding international order with the United Nations as the core, and the purpose and principles of the UN Charter as the cornerstone, and taking an active part in the UN's work across the board. China has played a constructive role in maintaining world peace and stability, promoting common development, safeguarding and improving post-war international order and the international system. I would like to highlight a few points as follows. Firstly, China strongly upholds the purpose and spirit of the UN Charters. China pursues an independent foreign policy of peace and is committed to international peace, security, and cooperation. This is the basic or the fundamentals of China's foreign policy ever since the founding of the People's Republic in 1949. In the 1950s, as you remember, together with India and Myanmar, China proposed the five principles of peaceful coexistence. These principles have since become the well-recognized norms governing international relations. Recently, His Excellency President Xi Jinping called for efforts to develop a new type of international relations, featuring win-win cooperation and building a community of common destiny for mankind. So this initiative of the President of China, that is to build a new type of international relations featuring win-win cooperation and building a community of common destiny for mankind. Being a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, China is dedicated to upholding international justice and safeguarding the legitimate rights and interests of developing countries. China consistently stands for peaceful settlement of international disputes and opposes willful use of force and rejects power politics and zero-sum game. China's foreign policy has always been following the path of partnership and cooperation. Secondly, China fully participates in the work of UN and its Security Council. China has been actively engaged in peace talks to solve disputes and maintain world peace and stability and security. China has contributed solutions and exerted positive influence in the settlement of global hotspot issues such as Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan, and Ukraine, and North Korea, and Iranian nuclear issues. China maintains the authority and role of the UN, in particular its Security Council. China advocates the new security concept of mutual trust, mutual benefit, equality, and coordination. So this is something we advocate as the new security concept, mutual trust, mutual benefit, equality, and coordination. And this is also the guideline for China's participation in international security affairs. I have to mention that China has contributed the biggest number of peacekeeping personnel among the permanent members of the UN Security Council. Since 1989, China has deployed a total of over 30,000 personnel to 29 UN peacekeeping missions. As we speak today, 3,100 Chinese peacekeepers are performing their duties around the world. Third, China has made outstanding achievements in reaching the UN Millennium Development Goals, MDG. China is the first developing country to realize the goal of poverty alleviation ahead of schedule, which significantly sped up global efforts to eliminate poverty. 250 million people were lifted out of poverty between 1978 and 2010 by Chinese standards. 250 million people were lifted out of poverty between 1978 and 2010 by Chinese standards, while 660 million people were lifted out of poverty by international standards. So I'm talking about the extent to which China lifted the poverty in accordance to Chinese standards and international standards. In accordance with Chinese standards, 250 million people. According to the international standards, 660 million people were lifted out of poverty. So this is contribution we made, both to our people, but also to the world. 93.3% of the world poverty reduction comes from China. 93.3% of the world poverty reduction comes from China. China has fully participated in the UN discussion and cooperation on issues such as building a new global economic order, sustainable development, climate change, humanitarian rescue, disaster relief, and prevention. As the largest developing countries, we shoulder our responsibility. We are also a developing country, we are still a poor country, but we never forget our responsibility to help other poor countries. We will continue to provide the best assistance it can to other developing countries under the South-South Cooperation Framework. So when you talk about the foreign assistance by China to other countries, we are talking about the help between the poor brothers, sisters, under the framework of South-South Cooperation. Since 1950s, China has provided a total of 400 million yuan, that is equal to 80 billion Australian dollars of foreign aid, and helped train more than 12 million personnel in developing countries. 12 million personnel in developing countries. We believe this is the contribution we should make to the other countries in the world. Fourth, China has vigorously involved in UN's work on human rights, carried out its international obligations, contributed to the social programs of the UN, including women and other children, immigration, many topics. In the wake of Ebola outbreak, China stepped up its cooperation with the UN and the World Health Organization, donating a total sum of $8 million to fight the disease. I'd like to tell you that just a week ago, Chinese Foreign Minister traveled around Africa in those countries affected, badly affected by Ebola outbreak, Sierra Leone and Liberia and other countries, to see what is the need and what we could offer further to those countries. And that commitment was fully appreciated by those countries. Fifth, China has actively participated in the negotiations of multilateral arms control treaties, such as the CTBT, and China has worked hard for the international calls on arms control. Besides that, China has been promoting the rules making the new boundaries, such as the outer space and internet security. Those are new frontiers, new boundaries of the topic discussed by the United Nations, and we are actively participating in the discussion of those topics, new topics, quote-unquote, like the outer space and internet security. Actively implementing relevant international convention and the UN under the UN framework, China has become a party to more than 400 multilateral treaties and over 23,000 bilateral ones. It is also a member to almost all the intergovernmental organizations in the world. Last but not the least, China supports the UN reform for better development and improvement. China supports reform of Security Council, which is an important part of the UN reform. We hope that reform should help strengthen the authority and efficiency of Security Council in coordinating international efforts to tackle global challenges. This is the purpose of the reform of the United Nations and Security Council. The priority of the reform should be on increasing the representation and voice of developing countries, especially African countries, in the Security Council, so that the small and medium-sized countries will have more opportunities to sit on the Security Council in turns, like Australia and New Zealand, and participate in its decision-making. So we are encouraging the developing countries, especially African countries, small and medium-sized countries, to participate in the decision-making process of the United Nations and Security Council to make the UN and Security Council more democratic. And it is important to continue with democratic and extensive consultations, accommodate the interests and concerns of all parties, seek a package solution. So we advocate for a package solution of the reform of security councils and reach the broadest possible agreement. We don't want to see the division among the members in dealing with the matter of reform of security council or reform of the United Nations. This is the way we should follow as it is in the common interest of all member states. In a changing world, the United Nations carries higher expectations and shoulder greater responsibility. We always advocate for the strengthening of the role of the United Nations in the multilateral affairs and also in the global affairs. We believe in the era of globalization, UN should and is able to play more important role in dealing with the conflicts and development issues in the world. So we are very positive for the strengthening of the role of the United Nations in the current world. We also believe the international community should carry forward the purposes and principles of the UN Charter, firmly follow the path of multilateralism and strengthen the role of the UN. And we will take a more active part in all UN activities for the betterment of human well-being and dedicate itself to safeguarding the world peace and participate, facilitate and contribute to the global and regional order. Before I conclude, I would like to mention something about the cooperation between China and Australia in the UN affairs. I think Gary Quinlan knows much more than I do about that. China and Australia have established a comprehensive strategic partnership. Both are important countries in the Asia-Pacific and founding members of the UN. We have worked together and closely effectively under the UN framework and on regional and international issues. China appreciates Australia's active role in the political resolution of regional hotspot issues during its term as non-permanent member of the Security Council between 2013 and 2014. At the same time, as two of the Troika of G20, Australia successfully hosted the G20 Brisbane Summit in 2015, last year, 2014, and China will host the 2016 summit. And we look forward to working with Australian colleagues closely for substantive outcomes of the summit in terms of the international governance and common development. Finally, during his visit to Australia last year, President Xi Jinping quoted an African saying in his speeches to the parliament. He mentioned, there is an African saying to say, if you want to go fast, walk alone. If you want to go far, walk together. So China stands ready to join hands with all other countries, including Australia and New Zealand, to maintain stability and prosperity in the Asia-Pacific and beyond, and together to create a better future for our human society. Thank you very much for your attention.